Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff, and today we are on the conversation of being in a bind. Now, when I say being in a bind, certainly we've all found ourselves in tight spots or in need, but what about the situations in which we hear, you know, somebody else is in need or we're a passerby and we realize maybe we could make a difference, but then we come up with 100 excuses to, well, I got this to do or that to do, and today's just not the day for me to be that helpful hand. Jeff?
So, had a pretty long day yesterday. I get up early, 5 a.m, do some touch up on my message.
Give my message,
go home, eat lunch. Well, actually, I didn't go home yet. I went to the gym, got some final things set up for our evening program, went home, ate lunch, took a 30-minute nap, and went back to church. So, I had about an hour off. So, I went home last night at 9 p.m.
So pretty much engines running nonstop. Good thing you don't got an electric vehicle.
Yeah.
That battery done been dead.
It was a long day. I'm wore out. Today, I'm exhausted. My body hurts.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard to get up this morning. Thank God Melanie had a cup of coffee sitting next to me when I woke up. And so I got my coffee. In fact, I brought coffee with me. I'm on my second cup.
Cup number two,
yeah,
huh?
Cup number two. So right. I'm just trying to set the stage for you to give you this question. So I get up, I have my cup, I walk out into the living room. My son's out there. He just got home from work. He works third shift. He's having his cup of coffee and says, hey, morning, morning, the mutual exchange, and just kind of
touching base. So this brother's crazy. He gets home from work, drinks a cup of coffee, and then goes to bed.
And then goes to bed, yeah. Yeah. He tries to unwind. So we're unwinding together. I'm unwinding my day yesterday. He's unwinding his last night. And so we go out on the front porch to let the dog out to do her business. Our conversation's interrupted, and we can hear real faint in the background. Help! Help! And this intense, getting louder and louder, this intense cry. And I looked at him. He's talking. I said, do you hear that? And so we both stopped talking. And I cupped my ears, and I'm listening, and you can hear it plain as day. Help! Mm. Help! And this man's intense, not like a little sissy cry, like someone blood-curdling scream, yelling help.
Okay.
What do you do?
I mean, can you identify where it's coming
yeah,
from?
Yeah, yeah. There's a field. It's out behind my neighbor's house. There's a farm field out there. Yeah, I know we've got farming. We're on a farming community.
Yeah, sure.
I know people personally who have lost fingers and limbs. I've met them who have lost them in combines and whatever else, trying to get something untangled and the thing's still spinning.
There's actually been a couple people here in the last, I'd say 10 years or so that have actually unfortunately died in farming
related
accidents.
Right, right. So, your mind starts running through all your experience and knowledge of things that have happened in a farming community. I mean, it could just simply be somebody working in their back garage.
I feel like today, too, just the natural instinct is like you just expect the worst.
Yeah.
Like you're just like, man,
your mind runs
what terrible thing is going on now?
Right. Well, I'm sitting there and this, it's not letting up. This person is screaming.
So somebody needs some help.
Yeah.
All right.
Now it's 8:45. No, sorry. It's 8:30. And I'm thinking, I got to be at Tyler's for the podcast. I got to be somewhere. And not only that, I'm having a family moment with my son. Right. I mean, we're having a great conversation. These are limited moments. He's growing up.
Now, he's a young dude, man. So
he's going back to college in a month.
Here in the next couple of years, he's going to be gone. Out of there and on his way.
Mm-hmm. So I'm like getting these last minute chances. He's got a pretty serious girlfriend. There's a strong chance they may get married. It's like these are el primo moments, right? It's mm-hmm. I'm investing here.
I feel like too, especially in the phase of life you're in, I can imagine you're kind of getting to see your investment over the past 18 years actually pay off and like get to enjoy your son as a young man. And now you guys have almost moved into the stage of like friendship.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty awesome.
And he's pretty smart guy. And he's got some intellect there. So it's fun to have conversations.
He did not get that from his dad. I'm just saying that had to come from his mom.
I agree. So, we have some pretty great conversations. So anyway, we didn't identify for sure that we heard help. Okay, so we're still talking initially. And then I'm telling you, this guy gets louder and louder and louder. I said, do you hear help or is that just my imagination? He goes, Yeah, I think he's yelling help.
Hmm.
So what I want you to think about, and I want you to think about our podcast people, think about, put yourself in my predicament. What are you going to do?
I feel like the natural thing to do would be to assess the situation, you know, figure out, like, obviously you can hear the general direction of where that's coming from, right? But to see, like, all right, is this person in my neighborhood? Is this person a mile down the road? I also think that all of the things you just mentioned, albeit you may be in a different situation, but like the same, like, man, I got this going on, that going on. Ultimately, like, when it comes down to it, though, those are just excuses for our own benefit, right? I would say what I would want to do was probably provide help if I were able.
Okay, so my mind did exactly what you said. I ran down the avenue, all the schematic. I could see it immediately. Okay, your mind goes to worst case scenario. And then you try and pull the reins back and go, okay, it's probably just some guy yelling at his dog. We even said that. It's probably some guy yelling at his dog.
Like that he got away or she got away.
And, yeah.
Yep.
And his name is Help.
But also in fairness to that, you guys, it's not like they were your next door neighbors. So it's very fair that like you could have been hearing a word that actually wasn't being said, right?
Yes. And that's exactly right. We were like, okay, maybe it just sounds like help. And if it wasn't for the intensity, the screaming, and then and the repetitive nature, not just of help, but he kept saying something that we couldn't quite make out. And I couldn't tell. And listen, let's just be candid here. We're surrounded by a lot of people who don't speak English.
Yeah, very fair.
So one of my thoughts,
by the day.
Right. One of my thoughts was this could be a person who can't speak English, but knows that one word help.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's yelling Alejandro or I don't know something, but it's kind of sounded like that, like a name he was hollering and yelling help. And then he would yell no every once in a while, like they were trying to do something. And that's why I thought maybe it's a dog. You know, he's trying to yell for a dog. But it doesn't make sense to yell help to a dog.
Right.
So I'm trying to work through this. But again, and then like you just said also, I'm processing. I'm wore out. Had a long day yesterday. I got a long day today of things I've got to do. I got a deadline. You're waiting for me. Man, you know, again, I'm enjoying this moment with my son. That's fleeting. I've only got a couple more minutes. I ain't got time for this.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had both extremes happen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just being very open and candid here, you know. So I did what anyone would do. I went inside, I poured an extra cup of coffee, and I came to your house.
You didn't do that.
What if I did?
Yeah, but you didn't. That's not who you are.
What if I did?
You know, unfortunately, I actually do think when you just said I did what anyone would do. I think we got to pull back on the term anyone, but you could replace it with the word most.
Most, yeah.
And that is unfortunate.
It really is.
But think
about this.
We've probably all been there, right?
Well, every day. Because if you think about it, there are people around you every single day, whether they're actually verbally crying out help, you can see they need help. And what do you do?
That's good. That's actually one of the things I pray for every morning is that if I'm going to be put in a situation that I need to make a difference, I pray that you, God, show me that. Show me the person that I may be the difference for. And I mean, obviously every day I don't get shown that. But I feel like then you're looking for ways in which you can be of assistance.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I wish we all prayed that prayer. But here's the other part of that too. I even think that some of us who pray those kind of prayers and are looking for those kind of opportunities, sometimes we'll see the opportunity and say, okay, God, I pray for another one because I don't want
to.
Pass, you know, let me have a new one, you know, because for whatever reason, be it prejudice or some kind of issue that you're faced with, or it could just simply be inconvenience. I mean, the list is long, right? We've all got the timing is just, it's just all wrong for you, or it makes you just uncomfortable.
I think that's a great statement is that people don't like to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, who does? I don't.
No, heck no.
But I also think people lack the confidence in themselves if they really need help, what am I going to be able to do? I'm not going to be able to help. When in reality, like the help you may be able to provide is if you find the issue, like your help might just be calling the emergency service.
I was convinced that someone was yelling help. My son was convinced someone was yelling help. So I said, okay, look, hey, man, I'm enjoying this moment, but I said, I got to go find out what's going on. So I'm running through that very thing. I'm like, okay, if somebody's caught in a combine, I need a belt. So I put a belt on and I put my shoes on, put a hat on. I'm just trying to grab things, grab my multi-tool, you know, all those things. Just in, I mean, give me some things so I can at least be of some service while the ambulance comes, right? Sure. Now, I didn't call 911. My son said I should have, but I'll tell you that later. So I was so proud. My son goes, "Do you want me to go with you?" And he just got off work, man. He's been, you know, working that third shift. He's wore out.
Yeah.
Bags under his eyes. And I said, "Only if you want to."
So y'all jump in the car.
So he jumps in the car with me and we're talking. And I'm thinking to myself.
So really in a new way now, you guys are getting to continue this moment, yeah, but in a different context.
In a way that proves character.
There you go.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm so proud of this young man.
Like, awesome. This is ultimately, yeah, like this dude would do the same thing if I weren't here.
Yeah, I was just like,
so that's great.
And then I didn't even realize in this moment, this is a teaching moment that I'm still teaching him.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
That makes 100% sense. I actually think if we view that from that lens, I don't believe that we ever stop teaching our children if we are being proper parents, right?
Your kids are your responsibility, right?
Sure.
Absolutely are. And so, like you just said, teaching moments, but it doesn't probably hit us, impact us in our intellect, in the frontal lobe, that even if it's not teaching your son, by you responding, being a first responder, even though you're not tasked or that's your profession, when you jump in and do what we all should do, but few do, mm-hmm, actually do, it's a teaching moment for others. Because how many times have you been driving down the road and you saw somebody pull over to help somebody, go, "Oh man, I'm glad they did that."
Mm, yeah. But, well, now I didn't have to.
But, well, and that's just it. But sometimes you go, sometimes you hear that voice and it says, "I should have done that."
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And what that person, whoever that was, who did the right thing, without saying a word to you, they just demonstrated the proper act.
Yep.
It convicted you and said, "I want to be that person."
Right. Yeah, that gave me the courage to want to do, yeah, the same thing.
And say, you know what? To heck with my list. To heck with my tiredness. To heck, this person needs me.
Well, it's not going to be there when you're done.
Right. Yeah. Because
you're just going to be a little more tired and have to rush a little bit more through your list.
So let me tell you how this ends.
Okay.
We get there and I kind of pinpointed through cupping my ears the location. And so I pulled back behind this farmhouse that had a little like a building where I could hear it was coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I pull in and put my windows down and I'm listening with my son and we're like just, you know, holding our breath, literally holding our breath, trying to hear this. And we hear the guy yelling. That's the voice. You know who it was?
Hmm.
It was a football coach yelling at his team, aimed right at our house. We're like, why is he in the football field? It doesn't matter, but he's barking the orders right front, like in trajectory of our house. I mean, just 100 feet away from us.
Well, realistically, though, where you guys are located, if you cross through the woods behind, yeah, you, you're pretty much at the school. So,
yeah, and that's what my son said. "Dad, you should have called 911. You should have said, someone's yelling for help." Can you imagine when the ambulance showed up and the police showed up?
Like, oh, no.
The coach's response.
We need help out here. We're just yelling out here at football practice.
Yeah, because I was like, man, you know, I wish that coach would go out there on the football field with a whistle. At least then you knew it was, you know, just the coach being loud.
I think, though, I mean, the learning lesson you can take from it is obviously in hindsight, for a moment, you're probably like, oh, this was stupid. Like, I just had all this buildup for that.
Oh, my adrenaline's pumping, man. We're on the way back home, and like you're just talking about. Yep.
At the same time, though, you did the right thing.
Well, that was the thing we said. Here's exactly what I said. I said, well, you know what? I would rather have done what we did than to have poured my cup of coffee and come to your house and found out later in the afternoon that my neighbor died because no one responded. No one knew.
That I heard him.
And I heard him, man.
Yep. Yeah, that's the type of thing that'd live with you.
And I said, and I wouldn't be able to shake that.
Mm-hmm.
And my son goes, yeah, exactly, Dad.
I think also, too, you did the right thing in that, obviously, the moment you hear something like that and you get amped up, your emotions set in, and like Caleb's like, let's call 911, right? Like, which makes sense. But at the same time, like giving it a moment to in essence, be still and assess the situation allowed you to also not make a mountain out of an anthill, right?
Right.
Which ultimately became an anthill, but you didn't know what it was.
Right. I didn't want to embarrass us, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Or tie up emergency services over a non-emergency sure. issue. That'd be silly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard, man. I'll tell you what, it's hard to be an adult, isn't it?
Yeah. And this is on doing things of good. I mean, let's get into the things that are terrible.
Right. It's easy in an abstract way to say, oh, yeah, when faced with a dilemma, I'm going to choose the right thing. So let's just go ahead and be real. You're faced with it every day. Are you doing the right thing?
Sure.
Because there's all these people around you who need help.
I think also we all have in our minds of, oh, if I was ever in a situation like that, somebody ever broke into my house, they'd be leaving in a body bag. Like, what would you really do when you're in that situation? Because I bet it's not as clear as you have envisioned it in your mind to be.
Yeah, a lot of people talk big, man.
But in a moment's notice, this man, innocent man, just a person in the crowd, shots ring out, and this man covers his daughters. Mm-hmm. In a moment, that's just what his instinct was. It wasn't like he had time to think about it. Like, oh, I wonder what I'll do if this happens. No, it was, this is happening. What am I doing? His instinct was he covered his family. That's what a real man and a real hero looks like. Look at if you can see it, look at the good God used it for.
Right.
And that
God causes all things to work for
good. This man is a true hero and protected his family. And he spent his whole life protecting it. He was a fire chief. I mean, that's who that dude was.
You do not have to be a Trump fan to see the courage that man possesses.
Amen.
I mean, I don't know that there are many people who can take a headshot and then stand up and say, let's continue on the fight.
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And so, there's situations that we all think that we'd have the answer to if they occurred, but then your natural reaction, your natural instinct comes out. And I think sometimes you see heroic acts or just like moments of like, he gets back up and raises his hand for the American people. Like you all stood here. None of you took off running. You all stood here to see what happened to me. You were with me. I want to let you know I'm with you. And that man that was with his family, his instinct, I'm going to protect my family.
Yeah, usually
that's a hero, man.
People don't realize this, but I hate to say this, but typically if you watch video footage where it's been recorded and there's been a shooting incident, people typically flee.
Sure.
And you're right. That's not what people did. People sat there and they were trying to pinpoint where it was coming from. They were pointing it out to the police mm-hmm. and the Secret Service, trying to get them to respond.
Mm.
And that's just not normal. I don't know. I think that I'll just say it this way. Republicans tend to be conservative people who are of faith. And I think it plays a role in the character of the people.
100%.
And so I think the reason why you had that kind of response was their primary concern is not for themselves, it's for others.
Amen. And I also think when this happened, did you see cities, buildings, and houses being destroyed the following
week? I did, didn't
week?
You? I did, man. They just burned it to the ground.
Yeah, no, it was the exact opposite.
Right.
I think many people left there going, I just witnessed a miracle.
Yeah, they were humbled. And
I have faith in a greater day to come because I know who just provided it. I say that is I think that that faith is so important because if you flip the script and you have no faith, why would you not burn things down and destroy things in outrage?
Right.
Because you're in outrage. I mean, the same people who were at this and witnessed this event were also outraged, but they have faith in a higher source of power.
Worldly people think this way. The way you fight fire is you fight fire with fire, right? So if someone wounds you, you wound them seven times more, mm-hmm. right? And so that's what you see is tit for tat and get revenge and I'm gonna show you. And so, yeah, when you see, and it's in the news now, you can pick it over a number of issues. When one group of people sees an injustice to their community, what do? They go and destroy whoever they think did it. Whoever they think, they project
mm-hmm.
a bias on another group of people. But like you just said, people need to hit pause and look at this. What these people did is they turned it around. Now, there is an investigation, and rightfully so. What wound this guy up?
Sure.
And,
or was there anyone besides him?
Right.
Was he nothing more than a body to put in place to say he was responsible?
Right.
Obviously, like you did, an investigation hopefully will present that evidence.
What's interesting about this situation as it pertains to our discussion is you didn't see a single group of people like or a family or just one man mm-hmm. do the right thing. You saw an entire group mm-hmm. do the right thing where people were being shot and dropped and they ran to those people's aid while to their knowledge, the shooter was still doing damage.
Sure.
But their concern was for others, not for themselves. That's who America is.
Amen. That's what a hero actually looks like. I think we've confused we see people as heroes now that, and I've been guilty of this myself, that, well, I can throw a football 60 yards or I can slam a basketball through a rim or I can play a guitar incredibly well and have a beautiful singing voice. But other than entertain you, what has that actually done for you?
Well, let me finish the thought. That's who America is. When we're at our best,
mm-hmm.
and we've also seen America at its worst. And here's, it's every few years we have these election cycles. And I know that they always say we're fighting for the soul of our country, but you are. And we have to decide as a people, do we want to be at our best or at our worst? Because whatever we choose is what we're going to be.
Yeah. And you're right. We've gotten a very clear look at what both look like.
Understand that you don't have to be overwhelmed with what the country chooses. If you'll just choose the right thing, you become a teacher of what the right thing is. And you're impacting not just your own kids, but everyone around you who sees you do the right thing and says, you know what? I'm glad they did that. And I should have done the same thing.
Isn't that, doesn't that pretty much embody what it means to be Christ-like? If you are shining his light, you know, obviously none of us are Christ, certainly. We're not perfect. We all fall short. But if we're making, you know, our best efforts to be like Christ, isn't that kind of infectious?
We are the greatest nation still in the world. And we can be great at being good, or we can be great at being evil. Pick.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We are so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. Remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
You're listening to Blindly Obvious.